Hello, my name is Matt and I'm one of the elders here at Jubilee Church Shepparton. If you're a visitor here and this is your first time, then you're most welcome. I'm going to be continuing our series called Jesus Christ, Dangerous Revolutionary. And the title of this particular preach is called Scandalous Freedom. And I'm going to be exploring how Jesus had a freedom, but it was also, at the time in the culture, was pretty scandalous. Now, when we think about freedom, we often think about different understandings of the word. We think of freedom of speech, or freedom of the press, or, of course, a prisoner who has lost their freedom. But the kind of freedom that we're going to be looking at is what Jesus does at the time in the culture that he's living in, and that he exercises a freedom to express himself that at the time is counterculture. And I have three examples of which I'm going to be looking at from the Gospels. One example is when Jesus is met by a man with leprosy. I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. And this is what it says. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds gathered and followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. So let's just talk a little bit about this disease, leprosy. Leprosy is a highly contagious bacterial infection that in modern times is curable. But at the time of ancient times, there was no cure. It caused severe nerve damage. It caused a lack of sensation in people's hands and feet. It makes it very difficult to walk or use your hands. Leprosy can lead to blindness. It's painful. It makes people very sick. Swelling of the skin and a dreadful fever and disfigurements. And back at the time of Christ, lepers were complete social outcasts. Anybody who touched a leper would religiously defile themselves. So at this time in culture, you were literally sent away to a colony. You couldn't mix with anyone. You couldn't mix with your family, with your friends, and you were ostracized, in exile, effectively. Now, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 13, verses 45 to 46, this is what it says about how the leper should be treated. The person with such infection must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine what that must have felt like to be an individual like that? It must have been awful both mentally and physically. To be rejected by society and just shunned like that was an awful thing. And so that's exactly what happened. People were not allowed to mix with anybody else. So the feeling of helplessness must have been completely immense. So let's look at Jesus' behaviour. You see, decent law-abiding citizens don't go around touching lepers. It's not the done thing, especially not at that time. If Jesus was to touch him, he was defiling himself, and he knew that this was the law, and yet Jesus does not socially distance himself. He's not 2 meters away, but instead he touches him. Jesus demonstrates that love and compassion are bigger than the man-made laws about decency and the rules of the time. He is moved by compassion and he heals him. Jesus shows his freedom. In ignoring the religious laws, he reaches out with godliness, and in so doing so, we see his holiness. You see, this man, he needed a touch from God, and he got it. The people thought they were being holy by living by these rules. They thought they were doing what God wanted. And yet Jesus wanted to flip it round and show, actually, rather than being holy, you're doing the opposite. You're being unholy. Holiness is a condition of the heart, not works or behaviour. In the second illustration of scandalous freedom, Jesus travels with his disciples to Samaria. And on the way, he stops by a well. Now, I'm going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Now, so what's so scandalous about that? It doesn't sound particularly scandalous at all. Well, firstly, she's a woman. Men didn't mix with women, certainly not in that society. There was an understanding that you didn't actually mix with a woman unless she was with her husband or with a father, with a member of the family. Secondly, she's a Samaritan. Now, Jews and Samaritans are not friends. Culturally, they were enemies. They didn't mix with each other. And so he's breaking another cultural understanding at that time. And then, of course, later on, as we read on that scripture, we find out that this woman is sexually immoral. And the reason why she's at the well when she's on her own is that she's probably been ostracized from her town. She cannot mix with the townsfolk. She's seen as a fallen woman and not somebody to be seen with. See, the thing about this woman's life is that actually it's a bit of a mess. And Jesus is not by that well by any accident. He has a dealing with this woman where he's able to speak to her. Now, remember that Jesus at this point, he's a rabbi. He's a teacher. He's respected. He's in the synagogue. He's of high standing, really, in comparison to this woman here. But Jesus breaks the rules again by exercising freedom, shows us how we should be in our hearts full of compassion and forgiveness, seeing past social respectability, see past the person's sin, and in doing so, we see Jesus is being holy. In my third story, Jesus has one of his many run-ins with the Pharisees. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not condemn the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." In this instance, it's not Jesus who is actively doing something that's socially frowned upon, such as loving the unlovable, but rather shining a spotlight on man-made laws and the folly of them. He says to the Pharisees, "You're getting your knickers in a twist because the disciples have eaten on the Sabbath, and that breaks trivial and unimportant laws." When actually there are instances in the scripture where David and the priests ate on the Sabbath, and you don't condemn that as being wrong. It's complete hypocrisy. And Jesus sums it up when he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He's referring to people who will put themselves through sacrificial hardship by following strict rules and diet and behavior and what to do on the Sabbath, when actually they're missing what's important. The Sabbath is made for man and not the other way round. Now, if you watched last week's preach, you remember that Stephen Morris gave a lot of examples there of where the Pharisees were acting in a way that Jesus condemned in his disruptive honesty. He called the Pharisees foolish for their customs and beliefs that weighed people down and were oppressed by religious rules and regulations. In fact, I would recommend it, if you haven't done so, go and watch it, because it's a really interesting piece that Stephen has done that links very nicely with this particular verses that we're going through. So there we have three accounts. Number one, Jesus touching and healing a leper. Number two, Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. And number three, Jesus' disciples breaking the Sabbath rules. Now, I'm just going to throw this in by way of an observation. Jesus is sometimes referred to as being a bit weak and a bit wishy-washy, and you know, people don't really take Jesus that seriously. But you know, what we can see in these examples is that Jesus is showing a brazen disobedience of the law. He doesn't care about what people think of him. He doesn't care about what those who are in authority think, and he doesn't care if he's going to get punished. But rather, he will do the Lord's will, certainly not anything that's weak. Let's move on now to an application. So what do we learn from these accounts? You know, it struck me as I was reading these accounts just how scandalous freedom the leper showed. Instead of hiding in the shadows, face covered, full of shame, full of rejection, what he's probably known for many, many years is people saying, get away from us, you're dirty. And in fact, he takes off his face covering. He has the courage to fall to Jesus and fall on his knees. And he's bearing his scars, his blisters, his pain, his rejection. And he cries out, if you are willing, will you make me clean? Now, Jesus, instead of being shocked and repulsed and shunning him, says, I am willing. You know, Jesus is willing to heal you of your pain too. All your sin and pain that you carry. And not just once, but over and over again by the mercy, compassion and tolerance and forgiveness that he has. Then there is a call to us as believers to reach the marginalized and the downtrodden and the rejected in society and demonstrate the love of Christ, just as Jesus was doing, reaching those people that were the rejected of society, so we emulate what he does. To the Samaritan woman, Jesus showed a love and compassion regardless of race, class, or gender. Despite being a Gentile, he was able to see past all of her sin and meet with her and meet her needs at that time in her life. You know, I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of being like the Pharisees, caught up in following rules, wagging our finger at those who do things that we don't like, shaking our head and tutting. You know, sometimes I've been guilty of feeling a little bit superior. You see, I secretly perceive myself as being on a higher spiritual plane with regular words of knowledge and public demonstrations of gifts of the Spirit. You know, I'm on a deeper spiritual understanding than other people. I can recite long passages of Scripture, advanced theological knowledge, and not to mention my brilliant singing voice, which is yet undiscovered. And it's crass to mention my generous tithe. 10% is for beginners. You know, God loathes that kind of self-righteous, pious pride. Don't be shackled by religious arrogance, but rather driven by compassion, mercy, tolerance, and forgiveness. Jesus broke the rules, and they were seen as scandalous, but he exercised incredible freedom in doing so. Don't allow your Christian faith to become an oppressive set of rules, of do's and don'ts, at the expense of loving like Jesus did. Because when we do, we enter into a holiness that honours and is obedient to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you showed a freedom that was considered socially unacceptable. Help us to be like the leper who was free to fall at your feet and ask to be made clean. Help us to love the unlovable, to be free of religious pride and embrace compassion. Help us to be more holy. In Jesus' name, Amen. You know, if you would like to become a follower of Jesus, literally all you have to do is ask. And I'm going to read a short prayer out. And if you'd like to be a follower of Jesus, then pray that prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me to set me free from my sins. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I would encourage you to get in touch with us here at Jubilee Church, and we can help you and support you as you start those early steps of your Christian walk. And I need to tell you that you're not alone. There are lots of people that can be here to help you. So all I want to say is thank you for listening. God bless you. And I'll hand you back to Dave.